Please be seated.
As always, it's so good to be here. Even whenever we have this nice southern snow outside. We're supposed to have some sort of accumulation today or overnight, and we woke up to puddles.
That's right. Pam was disappointed.
I take as my text from the epistle, though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my lips be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Much of the focus of our Christian teaching deals in internal language. Christianity is one of the few religions that focuses on orthodoxy, which is correct belief. The orthodoxy of its adherence over its orthopraxis is a technical term which means correct practice, religious practice. It is important for us to believe in God and to have faith that we are saved through His only Son, Jesus Christ, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Loving as ourselves seems to be the hardest hang-up on all this. But what Paul was speaking about in today's epistle reading is one of the several instances in Scripture which emphasizes that the beliefs of the Christian must be paired with action. I hear all the time from people, whenever I get to talking about Christianity, now, often unsolicited, people go, well, you know, I don't need to be a Christian because I'm a good person. I ask them, well, what does it mean to be a good person? They say, well, you know, I don't hurt anyone. I've never killed anybody. And, you know, I try to leave folks alone. I say, well, you know, that doesn't make you a good person. You're not doing anything good. You're being a neutral person. You're just refraining from doing those things which we consider to be awful. So, we are justified in our faith as Christians that the world has been redeemed through Jesus Christ. And there is no question in that. But what happens after that, though? Are we to rest on our laurels and enjoy the warm and tingly feeling that we get from our knowledge of salvation? Now, it is the teaching of the church from the beginning that our faith is what saves us, but it should be also what changes us. Our justification through Christ is what begins our journey into new life, but we must be constantly growing in our new life by allowing Christ to sanctify us. Whenever we talk about the Christian life, we always speak about justification and sanctification. In some groups, they say it's the same thing. Once you are saved by Christ, then you become a new creature and are completely changed within. If you sin, then you are showing evidence that, well, it didn't actually take hold whenever you became Christian, so you need to do it over again. But we in the Catholic faith believe that you are justified upon your baptism. God does the work. God reaches out and pours grace upon you. But that process of becoming a new creature only starts then. You need to start living a life with Christ, trying to become more Christ-like. You know, while justification happens one time, that is only the beginning. Sanctification is a process that takes your entire life. You will never end it. Sanctification is a process where we allow Christ to make us that new creature. But that creature is different both inside and outside. Now, Paul today is describing what that change is supposed to entail. Christians are directed by Christ to love their neighbors as themselves. What the Bible guides us to do, though, is not a passive, good-feeling kind of love. The concept of love in the Bible seems to be one of the only places in many of our lives where we are willing to allow ourselves to have tingly feelings for other people. But this is not the kind of love which Christ tells us to have for our neighbor. In English, we have only one word for the word love, and that is love. We say things like, I love my wife, I love my cat, I love America, I love cheese dip, and I love watching football on TV. Seems to kind of kill the word whenever we throw it around like that, sprinkle it on the same thing. But the first people who heard the gospel spoke Greek, and they had many different words for different types of love. Now, the first word is storge, and that's an affectionate kind of love, like that of I love my cat. It is a natural love that doesn't take any effort. It has no conditions to it, and it is closely related to the idea of acceptance. I love the way my cat is because he is who he is. It's also affiliated with the idea of appreciation or respect. Philia is the second kind, and that is the love that we have for our friends. It's also called brotherly love. Now that love is conditional. My love for my friends is going to last as much as they continue to be my friends. As long as they keep on doing what they're doing, as long as they reciprocate and still act like a friend, like a brother to me, then I will continue to love them. Eros is a passionate love. It is that warm and fuzzy feeling when we get next to our significant other or whenever they walk in the room. Whenever a pretty girl sashays past us. That is what we regularly associate with physical love. The problem with many people today is that they are confusing these different kinds of love and lumping them all into this Eros kind of interpretation. You can see that our concept of Eros in the Bible isn't one that pops up very often in the New Testament. However, in the English translation, it's what people use to excuse all different kinds of, let's call them, sexual proclivities. Now, the love which God has for us and the love which we are told as Christians to have for our neighbor is agape in Greek. Agape is unconditional. It is a love which expects nothing in return. It is a love which does not need to be reciprocated. Now, once upon a time, actually where we get our concept of coffee hour or here our trips to Golden Corral, we would have, after our communion service, we would all get together and have an agape meal, where we would join together in a mutual bond of showing each other's appreciation, showing our love towards one another. And basically, after every communion service, you would have a little party. Oh. But it happened after every service. Just our way of showing towards everyone else how much we love you. For no reason. Now, agape is a love which wants nothing more than good things to happen for the other. We as Christians are told to exhibit this kind of love, a love of action. Christ does not want us to simply have the warm fuzzies for our neighbor. We are supposed to act toward our neighbor in loving manners, to do things for them. If we are to love Christ, then we are to be charitable. That's where we hear today. The translation of agape into charity in the King James Version is one of the best ways to convey Paul's meaning here. And the majority of biblical translations miss the point and convey a romantic love by simply saying love. Now, it's a little bit more familiar if I say it this way. happens in weddings all the time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And while we should definitely have agape towards our significant other, especially them being other Christians, the concept of eros, that romantic love between a husband and wife, not quite what we're going here for here. So, we need to actively love our neighbors. Let us start with the fact that Christ directs us to love our neighbors as ourselves. So then, how do we usually love ourselves? Do we tear ourselves down? Do we respond to our shortcomings by ridiculing ourselves? Not if we're loving ourselves, no. If we truly love and care for ourselves, then we do good things for ourselves. If we falter, then we don't dwell on our own shortcomings and hate ourselves. We pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, smile, and roll on. Now, this is how we should treat one another. Word in the summary of the law of love your neighbor as yourself is to go out and do things to pick each other up if we falter, to not dwell on each other's shortcomings, and to help each other roll on. If we love Christ, but we do not love each other charitably, then we have not given ourselves over to Him. If we go through this process of justification, of becoming one with Christ through our baptism, but then we don't go on to love each other charitably and let Christ turn us into a charitable creature, then we are born into Christ, but we remain in our spiritual infancy. Paul today tells us in his epistle to the Corinthians to grow up. As Paul stated metaphorically, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Compassion towards our fellow man is how we move from that simple understanding and belief to actual implementation of the message of Christ. And that is how we become adults in our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.